no going to a mall shopping lot to buy a Christmas tree. There wasn't buying one from a church on the side of the road. It was driving out into the woods, looking for a cedar tree that fit the bill, and taking a chainsaw, yeah, you know the sound, and cutting the tree down and bringing it home and decorating it. From those childhood Christmases, one of the things that infiltrated our minds as that Christmas time came closer and closer is, what are we going to get? What in the world are we going to get this year? What is under that tree? What's going to be placed in ribbons and bows and packages? What is going to be wrapped up so that we can unwrap it? What is going to be put in our stockings that we can pull out of those stockings? What are we going to get? Now, many of us that are in this congregation tonight, that may still be our predominant view of Christmas. Our predominant view of Christmas is it's a season for getting. But I hope you grow past that. I hope that's something that maybe you've outgrown at this stage in your life. And you've come full circle to the point and place where you realize that there's as much fun in the giving as in the getting. You see, that's absolutely a scriptural principle, and it's absolutely true, that the giving is a delight. And I've come to that place where I love to see the looks on people's faces when they unwrap the presents that I was able to give them, when they open up the gifts that we were able to set before them. And many of us maybe are at that point and place in our relationship with life where we know that giving is a very prized and precious thing. The point being is that many people who are sitting in this congregation tonight, as well as all the other congregations all around this county, have a mixed bag of views of Christmas. We are not all on the same level, nor are we looking at the same focus when it comes to the Christmas celebration that is upon us. And so many of us even have views that have been mixed with the commercialism of this day, or even pagan ideologies that come to us from different kind of movements that have hit this country of late. The fact of the matter is there is only one meaning of Christmas that makes it important. Only one reason for the season that makes it pertinent, and that is Jesus Christ. Any other reason for the celebration of Christmas does not fit the bill as to why it's worthy of being celebrated. It is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes it a day of glory, that makes it a day of festivity, that makes it a day of wonder. It is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes it worthwhile to look back at what happened 2,000 years ago and to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. That is the reason for the season. All these other things, the giving even, the getting, yes, that's not the reason for the season. Too many people, it is all about the money, the commercialism, the greed, and it still sits there in their lives today as the reason they're celebrating. We drove in on Babcock Street today, and as we drove in on Babcock Street today, we looked, and there's the package store. You know the ABC store over on the left as you're coming north. Slam packed. There's going to be celebration of all kinds and all sorts that take place over this weekend. And not all of it is glory unto God. We come to this festivity, though, with mixed bags. But Jesus is the reason. And many children that come into the mix of celebrating Christmas, they don't know what it's all about. Many children that come into the mix of celebrating Christmas see it only as a time for Santa or Rudolph or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Frosty the Snowman or whatever other thing has cropped up lately on their television shows. Some children, even sitting in, I would say, Christian homes, do not have a true understanding of what Christmas is all about. Can I share with you a juxtaposition? That's a big word. I picked it up this week. Of what I'm talking about. You see, I have no problem doing any kind of Santa Claus or anything like that in your house. Now, don't ask me to dress up. I have the body, but I don't have the mind to do that. Don't ask me to dress up like him. But let me tell you some differences here between the celebration of the commercialism of Christmas and the celebration of the true meaning of Christmas. Are you ready for this? Here's what I want to share with you. Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. Jesus lives everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes once a year. Jesus is omnipresent. That means He is always present everywhere all the time. Santa comes down your chimney. Jesus stands at your door, at the door of your heart, and He knocks that He wants to come into your life, not just into your house. Santa fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all your needs. You have to wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is as close as the mention of His name in your life. Santa lets you sit in His lap. Jesus holds you in His hands. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart of love. Santa's little helpers makes new toys. Jesus makes new lives. Santa puts gifts under your tree. Jesus became our gift and died on a tree. Now, I don't say all that to battle Santa Claus. We know there is a real historical Saint Nick. We know the legend of Santa Claus flows out of that. I don't say all that to battle that. But I say that if we don't have the reason for the season in place, then we might as well celebrate the way the world celebrates. We might as well just do whatever comes to our heart and mind to do because we've lost the meaning. Jesus is the meaning for why we celebrate. And God set the record straight where Christmas is concerned in His holy word. Let me also point out this interesting point that I came to today. As I was doing some reading and looking into this, the question arose, what if Jesus Christ had never been born? What if there was no manger? What if there was no end? What if there was no fulfillment of prophecy of Isaiah that we read? What if there was no Messiah that has been given to us? Just concerning us in the United States of America, let me answer it with this short article. If Jesus Christ had never been born, you would not be reading this column. If Jesus Christ had never been born, there would be no United States of America. After Jesus left this earth, Christianity spread from the Holy Land to the modern-day Turkey to Greece and Italy and then covered the rest of Europe. In fact, Christopher Columbus wrote that his discovery of the New World was inspired by, quote, the Holy Spirit, because He comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures, end quote. Indeed, if it were not for Christmas, we would not be living in the greatest country and the most generous country in the history of mankind. In 1950, President Harry Truman gave a speech to the Attorney General's Conference. This is what he said. Quote, the fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days. End quote. Truman's message, by no means ultra-conservative, reminds me that there was a day that many reading this can remember when the Christian value system was the common value system that governed our country. We've gone astray from those days as we have allowed so many other trains to get into the station. My friends, when we talk about Christmas, we talk about a lifestyle that has been set aside because of salvation through Jesus Christ. That should make us proclaimers of the good news, not just one time a year, but throughout the entirety of the year. As we read the scriptures out of Luke chapter 2 tonight, some of the profound thoughts that come from that reminds us of what the season is all about. In Luke chapter 2 verse 11, we are reminded that Christmas marks a season of giving. As the scripture says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What happened in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11? What happened was that God gave you His Son. God gave His Son as a precious gift to a lost and dying world, that His Son, being born of humble origins, would grow up in a sinless state of being as He would make the right choices unto God with everything He ever did. And then He would die a sinner's death, your death, my death, upon the cross of Calvary. What makes the Christmas season a season worth celebrating is that God gave us Him. God gave us His all. And God's desire through that is that men would give themselves back to God. You see, that's your choice that you now have. A choice that without Jesus Christ being born, you would not have. But because Jesus Christ was born, because He lived a sinless, perfect life, because He died a sinner's death, your death and my death, upon the cross of Calvary, we now have that choice to come unto God and to give ourselves back to Him. You see, it's great to receive, but oh, it's so much better to give. And when we give ourselves back to God, I got a secret for you. He can do a lot more with you than you can. He can do a lot better with each one of us than we could by ourselves. Giving marks Christmas as a season. Christmas is also marked as a season of good tidings. Verse 10 says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" The angels came with a message of good tidings. That message of good tidings, or good news, in the literal Greek rendering, is where we get our word evangelize from. The word evangelize is simply that. When we go out into the culture that we live in, when we go into the communities that we walk in, when we go into the jobs that we work in, and we share what we know about God the Father and what He's done for us, we're doing nothing more than what was done by these shepherds, what was done by these angels, what was done on this first day of Christmas. When we share the good news, we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is really the only news that makes anything good. You see, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, our life, as the Scripture says, is just a vapor. Here one moment and gone the next. And without the gospel of Jesus Christ, it would be a meaningless, insignificant vapor of life. Scripture says our life is like the grass of the field. It grows up in the sun one day and withers the next and is gone and is remembered no more. Without Jesus Christ, that would be a meaningless, hopeless existence. But when this good news, this evangelization of God took place to mankind, we're given the message of hope. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." There is a message of hope that is in the midst of that. And it's good news, and it's going to be for great joy, and it's going to be to all people who trust in the Lord. And that message of hope that's in there for you and for me is still there today. It hasn't changed just because we don't ride donkeys anymore. Just because we don't live in the same location that the Christ child was born, just because 2,000 years of time has separated us from that first Christmas, that hasn't changed the message of hope. That message is still founded and grounded, not even in a time frame of the year, but in who God is. And therefore, that message of hope will not change ever. Christmas marks a season of good tidings, and Christmas marks a season of amazing grace. I wonder what was those shepherds thinking as these angels lit up the sky around them with their words that they spoke. What were the angels singing as they thinking as they saw the majesty? What were the shepherds thinking as they saw the majesty of these angels? What were they thinking as they wondered, why would God demonstrate His grace to us? Why would He show us His glory? I can tell you what a 17-year-old boy was thinking at Mathis City Auditorium. I can tell you what I was thinking when I sat and I listened to a preacher talk about Jesus Christ and salvation and responding to the gospel and repenting of your sins and turning from your sins that you may know God. And I will tell you that that 17-year-old boy thought, I'm not worthy. And he was right. He wasn't worthy, and he's still not worthy to walk with God. But the fact is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, He makes you worthy. He makes me worthy to be able to walk with Him. It's not anything that we've done, but it's everything that He's done. And what He's done is He's brought glory down to earth so that we may partake of His glory. And where we fall short, He takes up the slack. And when He takes up the slack, He makes you worthy. He makes me worthy. And all of a sudden, it's not based on our self-worth. It's based on His worth that He imparts, that He gives to us. And when I think of Christmas, I think of that amazing grace. And Christmas marks the season for glorifying God. Verses 13 and 14 says, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The season that is marked by the birth of Christ is a season that allows us to come into the presence of God, that we may glorify God with our words, that we may glorify God with our attitudes, that we may glorify God with our actions, and that ultimately our very lives become glory unto Him. Without the Christ child coming and bringing Himself down to us, that would not be possible. But because He did come, and because He brought glory to mankind, we can radiate that glory right back to Him. Can I remind you tonight that the season that was marked by the birth of Christ has not closed? You see, on our calendars that we look at, December 25th is going to come tomorrow, and it's going to go. All the stores are going to go, man, we sure wish we had a few more days of Christmas shopping for these people to come in. And we sure wish we had some more cash in the register from these people beating down our doors. But that season is going to end. All of a sudden, the clock is going to tick, and the calendar is going to change, and a new year is going to come in. 2013, can you believe? 2012. I jumped ahead 1 year. Can you believe 2012 is already here? Maybe I'm really excited about 2013, I guess. And all this is going to be shut down. But my friends, let me tell you something. The season of Christ will never close. The calendar will never outpace it. The time clock will never outrun it. The season of Christ is open. And the season that was marked by the birth of Christ is still today and tomorrow and 2012 and 2013, that other year we talked about, and on into eternity. The season is still there as a time for giving, as a time for good tidings, as a time for amazing grace, and as a time for glorifying God. The point is, how do you celebrate Christmas? Because the only way you can truly celebrate what God has done is if you are a partaker of what God has given. And if you accept and receive Jesus Christ that God has given us, and you give your life back to Him, then your celebration of Christmas becomes marked each and every day as you give back unto God, as you enjoy the opportunity of good tidings, as you celebrate year in and year out, day in and day out, the amazing grace that God has shown you. And as you do all of this, you do it glorifying God. And then you don't ever have to stop celebrating Christmas. Will you pray with me?